people that are struggling here in Santa Cruz, and we need to not be afraid of those solutions. We need to not focus on people that may have mental illness or substance abuse issues and use that as an excuse to say that people are not worthy of help. People are worthy of help. A lot of the people that are on these pink heart papers back here, they were lives. They were people that meant something. And I have no doubt in my mind that many of those people could have lived longer lives if their needs had been met, if they had been offered shelter or housing. And so it just breaks my heart that we have to gather here and think about the loss. You know, the loss, that's somebody's child. That's somebody who may have had a house before. That's people who have served this community. People who may have done your laundry, your dishes. They may have owned a house before. They may have been a business owner. They may have been a victim of the economy. It could be you next year. It could be you tomorrow. We really, really need to come together and fight for solutions. There is no reason that we should have all of these papers behind us. It just breaks my heart. Thank you.
Elsewhere, so I didn't hear what Alicia said. Alicia, what did you say that I shouldn't have to repeat again?
I said that we shouldn't be afraid of solutions, and that there's no reason that we should be looking at all of these papers. We need to focus on the solution. I talked about the broader demographic of homelessness.
Okay, well, if you want details on the homeless situation, I brought along at least one flyer which talks about this memorial, and if you're online, you already have it. It lists the names of all the people according to the official count who died in the last year, either on the streets or close to the streets, and, you know, got into a hospital bed or a hospice or something to that effect. I'm still trying to figure out why they have 84, now 85, with the death of Kat, names. The woman who died 2 days ago, I was told.
Just closer to her.
Okay, how's that? Still hear me? Okay, so I don't know why there are 85 names on this sheet, which was given out 2 days ago at the official memorial, and the number of 58 mentioned repeatedly on their literature. And also, quite frankly, this is a shocking increase from last year, which was 40 and 50. I believe, maybe I'm off by 5 or 10. But this is a massive increase, if this is true, unless we're thinking of something else. But whatever it is, I'm always annoyed at these memorials that we have. First of all, that they're not run by people who know the people who have died and are concerned about that. And in this case, it's different, because at least some of the people know some of the people who have died. But also, and I say this every time I think about a memorial, we need these memorials before people die. We need these memorials, and that's not just true for people outside, it's just generally true. If you're going to have some respect and regard for a person's life, for God's sake, celebrate it while they're still alive. But then, of course, when we're talking about folks outside, the issue now is the winter shelter that doesn't exist. And that means this winter, tonight, and tomorrow when it starts raining hard, which apparently is happening soon. You have a situation where there's lots of money being shoveled into the government agencies, city and county, but there's been no, in fact, increase in shelter. In fact, there's been a decrease in walk-in winter shelter from last year. So this situation, we see at least one individual in the crowd who tried to alleviate it, the tall guy with the sunglasses on, who actually presented some resolutions at city council, which were quickly buried by the mayor, then Mayor Watkins. But it's still obvious. If people haven't got an indoor shelter, although there are plenty of buildings around here that could be occupied as vacant buildings. I speak as a person who was who spent a year fighting charges, felony charges, for reporting on an occupation 10 years ago at the Occupy movement. So it's not an easy thing to do, but neither is it getting soaked, wet, and freezing outside. So they're going to be things confronting people in the next few days, maybe the next few hours for some people, who want to be indoors or at least sheltered and in a group somewhere.
Shelter or group?
That's a good question. We have a member of the CATCH standing over there. That's the community group that is supposed to be. I'm asking about your question for you. I want to hear it. You get to talk next, man. I'm going to yield. No, I'm going to yield the mic shortly. Tell us about shelters that currently exist, because your group, Rafa, has been studying this issue, and you know what exists now. So come over here and talk about what's available for tonight. Anything available for tonight?
Are there any empty beds in the Poly loft that used to be?
I hear Serge. Serge will give you the update. Go ahead, Serge.
My name's Serge, and I came here for the memorial. We lost a bunch of people. You guys want to know about services or anything? I could talk to you after the memorial.
So we all lost a lot of people this year, and so one of the things that has happened, which has contributed to people passing away, has been that the city has a policy of taking people's blankets, sleeping bags, and other survival belongings, and we need to always replenish them, because every Saturday and Sunday, or in fact, anytime somebody sees the Food Not Bombs van, they go, do you have a blanket? You have a blanket? The police just took my blanket. And so we actually spend thousands and thousands of dollars in the city of Santa Cruz taking people's personal belongings and putting them in dumpsters and then hauling it to the dump and throwing it away. I think in the 2017 report, it was several hundred thousand dollars just spent on throwing away, collecting and throwing away people's survival gear. So then we spend our own money buying survival gear to replace the survival gear that the city confiscates from our friends. And so it's because of this, people become very cold and wet. The city also has a policy of driving people out of the parking garages and under the awnings when it's raining. And the people then end up, I think if Joey's here, he could talk about how they kicked 14 people out of the Locust Street garage into the pouring rain. All their belongings were wet. Then they came to us looking for new belongings. So we're actually funding and organizing and paying to harm people who end up on the streets and then die. The other thing that happens is that, for instance, I have a friend that was here. I used to live in a wheelchair, and he had, because I had back surgery and I had my walker, he was like, oh, what's your back surgery? I told him what it was, a fusion. He goes, I had that. He got that because he was working at Sears over in Capitola, and they had to sell the floor model of a refrigerator. And so they put it onto a truck and it slipped and he broke his back. Then after he lost his disability and everything, he ends up on the streets, and sadly he eventually dies of cancer. But he had to spend his last days out here in a wheelchair with the police telling him he had to move and all that. And it was like, and these stories are endless, and they're going to be growing. And so there's a new discussion going on about creating a super giant large facility to place people in. And as you probably know, there's a ruling in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals saying it's cruel and unusual punishment to take people's belongings, to arrest them and so on if there's not enough shelter. So what it appears to be is the solution to that is to build a giant facilities that people will they be placed into. And the Mayor Steinberg of Sacramento, who's the head of the Task Force on Homelessness for the state of California, the governor's office, is proposing that there's no legal right to live outside. And if we offer you this giant place, then you have to be there no matter what. And as we already know from our relationship with the local shelters in Santa Cruz, what you have to do is to go to Laurel Street to meet the van at 5:30, and then they take you in. You can't come and go. They can't make it to the cash meetings. They can't go to city council because you have to be indoors, and then they let you out, and you can't walk up to the shelters. A lot of people don't realize you can't walk up. You have to go in the van, and now they're moving that to the over to the jail. So all of our friends that are waiting to get in the Salvation Army van to go off to sleep on a gym mat 8 inches from their neighbor are going to be outside the jail looking like they're already pre-criminalized. So, you know, these are some of the basic problems that have led to there being 85 people perishing on the streets. So we need to organize as a community to push back against this. And even more frightening is Trump is in agreement with the governor and with his task force that they must eliminate people's rights to be outside and place them against their will indoors. And this is an emergency, and we need to fight back against it. And it's not a joke. It's not, oh, it happened in Nazi Germany. It won't be happening here. It is happening here, and it is happening here now. And that's what they're practicing at 1220 to get us used to it. And we've got to push back and say people deserve housing. So we are not broken. We don't need to be fixed. We built America, and we need to be respected. We might be homeless, but we're not helpless. So I'd like to invite anybody else to...
We're
going to
say the name.
Are you going to say the name? Great. And then I'm going to return the cart back to the vet hall again. Sorry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
So this time we're going to take turns and we're going to say the names of each individual community member that has been lost on the streets of Santa Cruz. And I will start, we'll say the name and then the age. So I will start and say Kevin Allen, age 40.
Michael Anderson, 68. Stanley Arne, 66.
Dario Barraza, 87.
William Bird, 56.
Yeah, talk into the microphone. Get it out.
Caitlin Brady. Oh, Brady? Kathleen Brady, 67.
David Buckman, 62.
Sarah Burke Warner, 46.
Robert Carr, 76.
Joe Clark, 55.
Susan Conrad, 55.
Kevin Cook, 66.
Carrie Carriju, 62.
Leith Colley, 50.
Diana Crotty, 55.
Connie Cunningham, 57.
Stephen Davis, 69.
Renata Davitti, 71.
Donald Duda, 61.
William Earl, 63.
Jesus Farias, 34.
Robert Foster Jr., 67.
Elizabeth Fowler, 31.
Antonio Guillera, 67.
James Glass, 29.
Maria Gonzalez Martinez, 61.
Scott Hall, 52.
Sunny Harper, 43.
Leonard Harkamir, 70.
Bonnie Hill, 67.
Jonas Hogg, 47.
Chardell Howell, 43.
William Hubbard, 63.
John Hileslope, 56.
Renee Iglesias, 54.
Rubella Javier, 53.
Stanley Johnson Jr., 65.
Dennis Carnes, 67.
Michael Chris, 55.
Russell Kurtz, 65.
Chet Leaker, 47.
Jason Littlefield, 46.
Daniel Lloyd, 72.
Eddie Lozano, 56.
Barry Martinson, 68.
Mark Mizinko, 68.
Sebastian Mihu, 26.
Kurt Mydeck, 57.
Charles Miller, 44.
Alyssa Marino, 29.
Asa Mosley, 50.
Marjorie Mullins, 65.
Jose Murillo, 49.
Dennis Murphy, 70.
Brooke Pettyjohn, 44.
Jesus Pontoja, 69.
Cameron Poole, 20.
Julia Popa, 61.
Mario Rosciado, 37.
Desiree Quinteros, 55.
I'm sorry, when she said Desiree, kind of threw me off. That's my best friend. Oscar Ramirez, 29.
Rafael Ramirez, 61.
Jeffrey Raythert, 58.
James Rhodes, 64.
James Robinson, 61.
Raymond Rodriguez, 68.
Victor Rodriguez, 69.
Deborah Rushlow, 63.
John Salas, 55.
Henry Salazar, 60.
Thomas Schaefer, 44.
Sharon Silva, 64.
Dana Spriggs II, 40.
Nathan Stockard, 67.
Raymond Summerhays, 74.
Richard Tate, 68.
James Teeters, 58.
Juan Tejera, 60.
Reuben Tipton, 31.
Jason Wamshire, 48.
Ryan Weasel, or Wissel, 36.
Bianca Wheatfield, 34.
Richard Williams, 78.
Dick Yacht, 76.
And
who was the other one?
And a recent death that we know of named Kat, but we don't have any other information. If anybody else has anything they'd like to come up and share.
I just wanted to say, you all are in it. This housing crisis, as they call it, this is reality. This is our real. This is our reality right here. So it's real. And we know it because we feel it. We wear it in our heads. So we really got to fight. I don't know what. I don't know how. This city council thing, these people in there. I know of one person. He's right there. He fights for us. That guy right there. Y'all don't know him. That's Drew Glover.
We know him.
So Drew's in the community. Y'all see anybody else? So y'all gotta fight also. Man, we tired. But if we don't fight, you getting less. We getting less. They don't mind taking. We gotta fight no matter what. I don't wanna go to them meetings. It's bigger than me. I gotta show up. I don't know how much what good it do, but I know I'm getting it out. I'm telling them what's up. And I can't stop. I mean, I want to. I really do. I don't want to see none of them folks. Drew is all right. But I'm telling you, if you don't fight, you got less people fighting for you, for us, for this world. So, like I said, I don't know what to do to how to fight, but we got to do something. That's better than doing nothing, because it'll only get worse, if you can imagine worse. So, if you show up for the meetings to do something, I would say question Drew over here, because he might have some insights on what to do that will be effective. Where we come up winning, we taking them steps up towards something. We got to do something. We got to keep going, keep fighting. And I'm telling you, without a fight, without your voice, without people doing what we do, there will be less heard. I don't know what to do, but we got to do something. We got to keep going. Question Brother Drew over here. I don't know what to say. We got to fight. Period. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Sonny. Sonny Lopez.
Yeah,
what's up, Santa Cruz? Hey, guess what? Look right behind us. Those are family members of us, you know what I mean? And friends, relatives. Those who we actually know. And do you actually really care about any of them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, or do you actually really care about the ones who are actually standing right now, such as yourselves?
Yes.
Let's start building homes!
Yeah!
Let's start building homes and taking advantage of this fact that if we're going to get that help, let's get that birth certificate, let's get that ID, let's get that vote in. And going into those city councils, because you know why? Invasion of privacy? You cannot hide no more. So why be afraid of them going up there? Getting those knowledge, getting that knowledge that we need, other than getting stolen from other individuals who you could call friends, and then playing it off. What's up, buddy? And then all of a sudden, what? I'm stealing from you. For what? Just so that way you could get it fixed? I'm sorry. Enough is enough. A little kid is already dead. 20 years old. Who's the next one? Who? How young can we go? For what? Look at the ones who are right next to you. And we're stealing from each other? And we're still in the same spot. Why are we fighting each other? We're hurting each other. I am my brother and I am my sister's keeper, right? The religions as well, too. That, cut me with that. It's what works with you inside as well. and you could actually throw on your face mask, but it's good to actually take it off as well.
Yeah.
Yourselves too, because you haven't been in this position just like us. We don't just need jobs, we need a house!
Yeah, we do!
We need our families back!
Yeah!
We're doing too much and for too little by taking advantage. River Street Campman, I'm sorry, that property is still being factored back into their pockets. And they're going to soon be moving out soon. Who's next on the waiting list? Till one gets kicked out? It's too small, it's too little. Too small, too little, and many people are out here. You guys have fences already over at the Ross Encampment, and this one was actually starting it.
Every time I try something, they shut me down.
Transfer it, relocate it, doing it the same thing, at least getting connected with that. But there are several people who you cannot stop what they're going to do. You cannot actually play with the person as a toy. I'm not a toy. There are no strings on me. I was born this way just as you are, with the heart, a human. Your mother held you the same way, 9 months, to think how were you going to come out in this world. Look at you now. Are you going to be that next person lying down, 6 feet down under, or ashes? I'm pretty much sure my time's going to be coming up soon. But you know what? I have a voice for some reason. And I'm proud of it.
Yeah, man.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you, bro. You ain't going nowhere.
Okay? This is our life. This is secret life. We are full people, we know that, and in some ways we are blessed. But you have to understand, the war on vagrancy, the war on the poor, that goes way back. Because it keeps people in line, it keeps people in these shitty jobs that don't pay enough. In these meaningless jobs that aren't about community, but about somebody at the top who is greedy. I think Adam Scowl, candidate at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, said yesterday, how much is this amount of $1 billion that this bigwig is making? It was like this guy would have to make $200,000 a day, $92 million a year for 1,000 years to make the money that this one person is making. So don't be embarrassed or shamed to be homeless. To be homeless is to be on the front lines. To be homeless is to walk with pride against a system that systematically dehumanizes people, that wants to make you feel like a dog. And dogs are better treated in this system than homeless people often. And this is an absolute outrage. But today, I just want to say that some of my friends have probably died, and I don't even know who they are. And I have to look at myself, and I'll tell you, one of the biggest classists that I know is me. I am a classist. I am a part of this system. I have prejudices. I grew up in this system, and so it's in me. And I want to say it's in every single one of us. So before we get too proud about pointing the finger, even at the incredibly rich and possibly incredibly greedy people, we have to come to terms with classism in ourselves. And we have to value this life because it's so special. And when we lose our friends, it's really important that we honor them and that we know them and that we work together and unite, really work together and unite to keep people alive, because this life is fabulous. And we want people to be able to enjoy it throughout their old age, throughout poverty, throughout illness, throughout everything. Okay, so I just want to say thank you for holding this memorial. Thank you all very much for being here.
So right now, all over the United States, the local unions of the homeless are holding vigils. This is the longest night, and so we agreed as a national union to hold these vigils and these memorial services on the streets this evening. And so in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and many other cities in the United States, there are people that are doing the same memorial service for those who passed in their streets. So does somebody else want to come forward? And really thank everybody for so far who has spoken and the people who have come. Roberta, did you want to speak? Do you want to speak? Beautiful. Thank you.
I don't know if you know me. My name is Jane. I've never been a political activist or anything really of notoriety other than just being myself here my whole life. And thanks. And I am a very fortunate person. I'm probably one of those people who has been able to drive around in my car and look at the situation get worse and have judgments that I wish I wouldn't have had. And I came for a memorial because I'm so sad about the lives that have been lost and the lives that we're losing, and the fact that there are people that have been part of our community, this community, and part of our country for so long that it get neglected and deserve so much more. And for the first time this year in my life, I went to a city council meeting. That's the only thing that I know, the last woman who spoke.
All right.
Yeah. Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. And it's a very eye-opening thing, and I'm just trying to become more aware because the need is so great and it's so easy to distance yourself from ways to help when it's just easy to like click here and just give a little tiny bit there, here and there and here and there, and not really be engaged in like hands-on. So I'm really here to acknowledge what's happening and not have a big political voice, but that's part of it, a big, huge part of it. So
thank you.
Absolutely.
Like that way.
Sure, thanks. I didn't have much time to talk because my property's over there and it's all I have. And because the government took all my property and that's all I could get back from them. I lost my family, I lost my friends, I had two dogs and other animals that I've lost to the government, and it's been real difficult for me to try to be in such a government. And I used to be a kindergarten teacher, and the gal over there in the picture looks like one of my former students, and they are really very special to me, very precious treasure. And if there was, you know, a God in the universe who was good, I would pray to him that nothing bad would happen to them, and if they could come back somehow, sure would be nice. I used to have two dogs. One was named Serena, another one was named Duchess, and I had other animals too. They were taken from me too. And because so many bad things have happened to me, I feel like, you know, it's like I could never even get them back. And even with the weather and so forth, for people who are really homeless, it makes it extremely difficult to be. And so that's how it's been for me recently. And I've had a lot of trouble with a gal who's been really severely abusive to a dog in the community. And I try to rescue as best I can. And sometimes I felt that I didn't get any help from the community or from law enforcement. And I'm sort of taking the law into my own hands, sort of, I don't know, belated or whatever, and found that it was really difficult for the community at the time to accept that I was trying to be a fair lady, but I think maybe they get deceived about people and who they are or who they aren't, or get bribed or deceived in both. It ended up getting in a lot of trouble and trying to come back from that. It's really very difficult. And I try my best to be as fair as lady as I can be wherever I am, and hope that I'll be supported for being a fair lady. And hope that others will support me in trying to make the world a better place, a place where there's justice, a place that's free from theft and all the abuses that happen because of theft, and that there'd be a place of sharing and defense. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, pets are our families. Pets are our families. So, yeah.
Wow, thank you so much for what you have very powerful comments. Do more people would like to speak about their experience, about someone who they've lost, like Desiree, or a few were friends with Kat, who just passed away at 1220 River Street yesterday? Anybody like to make more comments?
Mark.
Yeah, Mark, do you want to speak? Okay, did you want to?
Yeah, this community is so blessed.
Any better? Eddie Pepperman.
Oh. Many communities.
Where did I see Eddie?
Don't do this. So thank you.
Horatio. That's just Myron.
Again, we need blankets, tarps. Please, we put them out over here. You can see how fast things have gone. We need socks. We need clean underwear. That's brand new underwear from Costco or someplace. And we need sleeping bags. I don't know what she's talking about, but that's pretty interesting. So, again, I want to thank everyone for coming to the memorial, taking part in this memorial. It's tragic that we have to do this. Let's hope next year it will not be 85 people. Hopefully it won't be one person, but we know many of the people that are retired to the streets, because that's the way our country is. Did you want to say something?
I'm pretty quiet. I can just say though that they're still with us though, every day.
Yeah. Okay. Come up.
Come up and really, you go with them.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay.
I just got.
Remember that they're still with us every day in so many ways. The power and the spirit and their existence is all part of our cosmos. So no one is really completely gone. They're just moved to a different form. So thank you all, and all my love to everyone. And let me know if you need help with survival, and let's help each other survive out here. And we know that it's not going to change quick. And it might not ever change. There's always going to be people that are probably going to be houseless or homeless. So let's just keep that as part of the pattern that we're going to have in the future. And we'll just keep working with that pattern and doing the best we can within that. Thank you.